St. Red, My Aim is True by Jordan D. White. Episode 9, Mystery Dance.
That's not...
I assure you, it is entirely possible, and it is entirely true. Simon, the pictures, please.
Simon walked up to Red and held up a photo in front of his face. It was a picture of Allison, all decked out in her full goth attire, being escorted out of DINR. Simon flipped to another picture, and another, all similar shots. Allison with her parents leaving, Allison with Argento, Father Patrick, clad in his robes once more, rather than the borrowed sweats, smirked.
As you can see, the tender young lady you once knew is gone yet again, replaced by the brooding suicidal girl that the rest of the world remembers. By now she's home again, with no memory of the rechristening, you saving her life, or you even existing. Probably not the Christmas present you'd ask Santa for now, is it?
Christmas? Red could feel his limbs beginning to loosen as the effects of being frozen wore off.
Oh yes, it's Christmas Day, my birthday and my previous life on Earth. You've been frozen for 4 days. We thought it was the best way to keep you from interfering with our preparations. We've got quite a holiday event planned, and you're an important part of it.
Not a chance. Red lifted his right foot off the floor, the first bit of movement he could manage, but was unable to shift his balance fast enough to keep upright. Fortunately, Simon was still close enough to catch him.
Lay him down on the couch.
Simon swiveled Red over to a sofa in the corner of the room and lay Red down upon it. The movement gave Red a chance to see a bit more of the room. It was very unfinished, as if it were a warehouse or factory that had some furniture put in.
Your Holiness, think about it. What have you got to lose? You know you can't trust DINR. They betrayed you. They were going to wipe your mind of the incident just as they did with Allison's. Your good friend Argento knew about the whole thing. I was there when he got the order. A whole troop of their men waited in the room, and when Kimmy and Scott came back, they saw them as you and Allison. It took them before they even said a word. Isn't that what happened, Kimmy?
Kimmy glanced nervously at Patrick, who nodded at her.
It's true. They only took Scott and I because they thought we were you, and they did rechristen Allison.
Join us. Get revenge on those who would use you as nothing more than a tool to be discarded at will. They have lied to you from the very start. The holy implements we had, the masks, the cryonic freezing devices, where do you think we got them? They gave them to me to facilitate my rise to power before I revealed them to be corrupt and sinful organization that they truly are.
Father Patrick leaned in and whispered into Red's ear so that no one else could hear.
How do you think I received this holy power?
He kissed Red's cheek lightly before he rose again.
They wanted me to be their tool as well, but they were mistaken, trying to use the Son of God as thus. Join me, and they will pay for their discretions against us both.
As the cold numbness began to leave him, Red realized that every muscle in his body ached immensely. What are you going to do?
It's not what I'm going to do. It is what he is going to do. His justice will be served, and I shall be revealed as savior, and with you by my side, no one can stand in our way.
Red would now have regained the full range of movement in his body, if not for the fact that even the slightest utilization of his locomotive functions caused tremendous shooting pain throughout his being. You can take your offer, and...
Before you decide, there are a few choice bits of information you should consider. First, considering what you did to Scott, I am being a benevolent and merciful God, am I not? Were I to do unto you as you did unto him, you'd be a bit more widespread by now. Second, you have a very simple choice. We've already made arrangements to ransom you back to your old pals. Either you join us, we steal their $5 million, usher in a new paradise with all the girls you could ask for, and hey, why not? I'll even give them back Allison for you. Or we can refreeze you and give you back to them, and you forget about her as she has about you.
Red looked up at the father hovering above him, waiting smugly for the answer he knew Red would give. Red desperately wanted another option, but could think of no alternative. Until he could find out more, find out what was true, he had no choice. They had him against a wall. Fine. I'll join you. What are we going to do?
That, Your Holiness, is a surprise. Just remember, If you want me to heal your little girl's brain, I expect everything to go perfectly in the exchange. If it doesn't, I may still stop by her house. I might do the pretty little thing like her some good to find Jesus.
If you even think about that.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it, Your Holiness. She's all yours as long as that money is mine. Deal?
Deal.
Wonderful. Now you're one of us. You should meet the team. Yeah, you know Kimmy and Joshua, of course.
Kimmy was sitting nearby, sort of anxiously. Joshua was in a rocking chair nearby, rocking back and forth. Father Patrick stood beside him and put his hand on Joshua's shoulder. He nodded towards Simon.
Simon is my right hand, the first I ever healed. These two fine gentlemen over here are Charles and William.
Red craned his neck to see the other two men who had operated the frog launcher almost a week earlier. The searing pain made him wince.
Oh, of course. Forgive me, Your Holiness.
He walked back to Red and placed his hand on Red's chest. Almost instantaneously, Red could feel the pain melt away from every muscle in his body.
That should be a little bit better.
Much. Father Patrick sat down on the matching love seat.
We have about an hour before we need to leave and get ready to meet Argento.
He looked at Joshua and patted himself on the lap. Argento? Red asked.
He's supposed to bring the $5 million to a certain phone booth all by himself. We'll have Charles watching him there. If he's all alone, we'll call him, tell him where to meet us. That's what we're supposed to make the trade, but instead, you can help us take everything.
Joshua draped himself across Father Patrick's lap, resting his head against the priest's shoulder. Oh, guys, no, please.
Come now, Your Holiness. It's just a little sign of affection.
He rubbed noses with Joshua.
Yeah, a boy's got to get off somehow. No thanks to your tease of a girlfriend.
Oh, my little boy sounds just so grown up.
God, you guys are going to make me sick.
Tut, tut. Why? Because he's a boy? You're just as bad and you know it.
I am not a pedophile.
Oh, not this again. Joshua and I are going elsewhere to amuse ourselves, my children. Kimmy, take Red and get him to relax.
Gladly.
I told you I'm not.
Kimmy, give me your wallet.
She picked up the purse from one of the end tables and took out a wallet. She handed it to Patrick. He flipped through it.
Let's see. Okay, here we are. Date of birth, December 19th, 1984.
He turned it to face Red, and then after a moment, he flipped it closed and tossed it back to his owner.
Do the math. It really was her 18th birthday. Girls turn 18 every day.
Come on.
She took his hand. No thanks, Red said, pulling himself away.
We can just talk.
Forget it. Just leave me alone.
I'd really like to talk to you.
And I couldn't give a crap what you'd like, so bug off.
I think it would be best if you did come with me. I'm 18, see?
She opened her wallet back up and held it towards him. Yeah, yeah, I saw.
With a set of goggles like those, I'm sure.
Red rose and slapped her. Don't you ever, ever say that again. The outline of his hand slowly began to shine bright red on Kimmy's face. Her eyes were wide and her hand went up to cover her cheek. She began to tear up. They're glasses. You call them glasses. And when I tell you to leave me alone, you leave me the hell alone. I'm a saint. Who the hell are you to push me?
Exactly. That's exactly right. You are a saint. You can do whatever you please. These children, they are all below you. They are yours to do with as you please. I am glad to see you finally assert yourself. Bravo.
Red stood staring Kimmy down. She looked as though she would burst into tears any second.
Red, please, I...
Why don't you just stick with Your Holiness, okay?
Kimmy, you can join Joshua and I.
But I...
Kimmy!
Without another word, she rose and quietly walked to the priest's side.
Well, I'll leave you alone then. Simon, Charles, and William. See that everyone is ready when it is time for us to leave.
Yes, my lord.
Once the six of them had gone, Red sat back down on the couch and found himself recalling Chapter 8 of Oliver Twist. Oliver walks to London. He encounters on the road a strange sort of young gentleman. It was the chapter in which Oliver first met Dodger and Fagin. With nothing better to occupy his mind, he recited the book to himself.
Okay, I'll give him a call.
Father Pat clicked his cell phone off. William was in the driver's seat of the van, Kimmy was in the passenger seat, while Red was in the rear with Father Patrick. They had parked in the parking garage on an empty floor about 20 minutes before, waiting for Argento to show up at the phone booth.
Argento's in place. I'm going to call him now. Let's get out of the van. Red, you get down on your knees.
Yeah, fine. Red got out of the van and knelt on the ground behind it. Patrick walked up behind him as he dialed.
Argento, get back into your car and go to the parking garage down to the block on right, fifth floor. If I see anything I don't like, His Holiness gets one in the back of the head.
He hung up the phone and pulled out a silenced pistol. He put it to the back of Red's head.
Okay, Red. Now you remember the plan.
I got it.
First, we get him to show us the money. Then I make my speech. And when I say, the might of my righteous angels, and... Then I pause for effect. Even your own saint. That's when you jump up and grab Argento.
Yeah, I got it. Don't worry about it. Then we get Allison back and make everything better.
Quiet. Here he comes.
Red felt the gun jab into the back of his head a little harder. Argento was driving a black sedan. He appeared to be alone. Red did his best to look vaguely nervous. He kept his hands behind his back as if they were tied. Argento pulled his car to a stop. Father Patrick gestured for him to come out.
Are you all right, Red?
Argento climbed out of the car and approached him. I'm just peachy, Frankie.
Did you bring the money?
$5 million in 20s, non-consecutive. Right in the back seat. Just let us have Red back. That's all that matters.
You son of a bitch! Red said, springing to his feet and punching Argento in the face. In his left hand, he'd been holding the cryo-freezer. He grabbed Argento by the back of his collar and put the tip of the device up against his face, careful to keep his finger off the button that operates it.
Red, yes, Mr. Argento, now you realize the wrath of my folly...
Shut up! Have them get the money. Frank and I need to talk.
Red, what are you... Whoa! Hey, easy!
Red jerked him over to the side of the garage. Red pushed Argento's torso over the edge so that only his own grasp on Argento kept him from falling.
What are you doing?
You know, Frank, ever since we've met, you've been holding back information from me. And I've heard the key to a good relationship is communication, so I think it's time for you to communicate some things to me, okay? I'm sick of this mysterious crap dancing around the truth. I want you to tell me straight, and I mean now, unless you'd rather find out how many pieces you'd shatter into if you fell frozen from this height.
No, please, of course not. No. What do you want? I'll tell you anything.
Red, this was not the plan!
You got the money, and I think Argento knows whose side I'm on, so just get over it. We all know you're not the son of God, all of us with half a brain anyway. Now shut the hell up and let me find the truth.
Fine. Do as you will. He'll only confirm what I have already told you.
Okay, Frank. Here we go. Answer everything truthfully and I'll let you go. In the non-falling-to-your-death way. First off, what did you do to Allison?
Allison, you mean... Oh, Allison is back with her parents. We had to put her mind back the way it was intended to be.
So when you captured Kimmy and Scott, you were trying to take us?
Red, you have to understand. Oh God, I was just doing my job, please. We're trying to make the world a better place, and sometimes we have to do things that...
Did you give Father Patrick his power? Did you set this sick bastard up so that he could do the filthy things that he's done?
Hey, wait a minute now.
Red, that's not fair. We didn't know where he was going to, what he was... You have to understand, the prophets told us he would help children. They didn't tell us...
Bring him, Red, bring him.
How could you do this to me? Red pulled Argento back from the ledge and threw him onto the floor of the lot.
Red, you have to understand. You don't know the half of it yet. What they put you through. What they put Allison through. That's just the beginning. But trust me, I'm on your side. I promise. I'm not trying to...
What the hell is this? Argento, you shouldn't have. You naughty, naughty boy.
Red dragged his former partner to where the others were gathered. Kimmy and William had been taking the packets of money out of the bags that Argento had brought them in, and been transferring it all into a huge box that they had brought with them in the back of the van. They had also been unwrapping each individual packet of money, checking quickly for markings or tracking devices, leaving a huge box full of 250,000 loose 20s. It seemed it had paid off, however, as William held in his hand an incredibly thin device that had been slipped in between some of the bills.
And what is this?
I don't know. I swear, I didn't put the money together. I'm just delivering it. I promise you, I didn't.
Don't worry about it. We caught it, so it's okay. Red pulled out his gun and fired at the device in William's hand. He missed. He tried again. He missed again. Okay, just leave it here then. Who cares?
You see, Red? That proves it. That what you're doing isn't right. Just like I told you. Please, you have to come back with me.
You can wipe my mind, too? No, thanks.
We're finished here. Red... Take care of Argento's car.
Red tossed Argento back onto the ground. Stay down! He drew his sword and slashed through the hood of the car and the engine beneath. Another car pulled up, this one driven by Charles with Joshua in the passenger seat.
William, Kimmy, you take the van and the money back. I'm going with Red to keep my part of the bargain.
Wait, let me go with you!
Kimmy, I'm tired of having to say thanks to you so many times.
Kimmy, I know.
Shut up!
I didn't tell not anyone.
What? What is he talking about? What do you know?
What do you know, Frank? Red touched the cryo-freezer to Argento's neck.
I know. I know what was done to Kimmy when DINR took her.
What was done?
Shut up!
Kimmy shouted at him, kicking Argento.
We don't have to talk about this!
She was almost in tears again.
We don't need to talk about this right now. Let's just go!
I'm on your side, Red. I promise you.
Red froze him. He threw the cryo down on the ground. Let's go get Allison, he said, climbing into the back of the car.
Kimmy, we'll have words later.
Father Patrick joined Red in the rear of the automobile, and they took off, heading for New Hyde Park.
That girl, I don't know what they did to her in there, but since she came back, Joshua's practically had to force himself upon her. It's not like her. Not like her at all.
Oh, God, can we not talk on the way? Thanks. Red was doing his best to block out every word, squeal, or giggle coming from the back seat of the car. Red had remembered from his childhood that every Christmas night, Allison's parents would go out for a special dinner, just the two of them, having had the family dinner the night before. They were waiting for the couple to leave before making their move, which is why the carful had been sitting just down the street from Allison's house for just over an hour. About halfway through that, Joshua had climbed into the back seat, and rather than be next to anything unseemly, Red had moved up front. Wait, hold on a minute. Allison's parents were leaving the house, dressed to the nines, just like every Christmas night since Red had known them. Okay, here we go, guys. Put your pants back on, or whatever you need to do. It's time. Red slouched down low as the Innises drove past, although he realized it was pointless a moment later. After their car was out of sight, Charles drove them up to Allison's driveway.
All right. Let's do this fast. We break in, and Charles, you help Red hold her down, and I'll work on healing her head.
No problem.
You keep my seat warm now, Joshua.
The three of them walked up to the door, and Charles, being the biggest, threw himself into the door with all his weight and strength. The bolt cracked out of the frame and gained them entry. Upstairs, said Red, taking the lead. He ran up the stairs to Allison's room and threw open the door. Allison was lying on her bed, writing in her journal. Her face was much paler than when Red had seen her last, makeup, of course, and the black eyeliner around her eyes was drawn in elaborate designs. Her lips, both black with lipstick, spread apart wide as she screamed a piercing B-movie shriek. Red and Charles lunged at her and were able to grab her before she could move. Allison, please, just relax. This is for your own good, I promise you. They held her down on the bed. As Father Patrick came into her view, her screams turned to tears.
Oh, God, no, not him. Don't let him touch me, please. This has to be another dream, please.
What is she talking about?
Please, God, don't let him touch me. Don't let him touch me again.
I don't know. A dream? Maybe she saw you in another prophecy. I don't know. Just do it.
All right.
Please, Allison, just relax. It'll be all over soon. I promise. As Father Patrick put his hands onto her head, she fell silent. Red could feel an energy in her, making her body feel exceptionally warm. After a moment, Patrick took his hands off of her.
Voila. She is healed.
A moment or so later, Allison's eyelids fluttered slowly open. The tears that had been welling into her eyes rolled down her cheeks.
Who are you people? What do you want from me?
You didn't do it right. Do it again. You didn't do it right.
I did. I swear. I did the same thing I did before. I swear on my Father in heaven. I don't know. They must have found a way to stop me.
Please don't. Please don't let him touch me. Please.
Red looked deep into Allison's eyes and saw no recognition, only fear. Her tears were leaving black streaks running down her face. He had never seen her so sad, so afraid. Let's get out of here. Fast. As they released Allison, she curled up into fetal position on the bed, hugging her legs tight to her chest and sobbing. Chaser was rubbing against Red's leg. Red picked him up and put him on the bed with her before leaving and closing her door behind him. He said nothing as they went back out to the car. End of episode.